Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are looking at the 41st Psalm, and we've looked at the first, I think, six verses of it. It's 13 verses long. So what I want to do is I want to go back and reread those six verses and then see if we can finish the balance of the Psalm. Remember, it's written to a choir master. It's the Psalm of David. And David said in verse 1, "Blessed is the one who considers or has regard for the poor or for the helpless. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies." And so that's speaking of the man who is blessed because of how he considers and helps the poor and does various things, okay? So what did it say the Lord's going to do? The Lord's going to deliver. He's going to protect. He's going to call him blessed. He's not going to give him up to what the enemy wants to do to him. Verse 3, "The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health." So the Lord will sustain someone upon their sickbed. Again, he never says that you won't get sick. I think sometimes we believe that, okay? But no, the Lord will sustain, and the Lord will restore him to full health. Verse 4, "As for me," as David speaking, "I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you." And so this is the verse that really tied a lot of things in together that we have seen so far in the Psalms. David says, "I have sinned against you, God. I have sinned against you." And now he's saying, "Lord, be gracious to me and heal me." He's tying in the need for healing, the need for grace, into the fact that he had sinned. Verse 6, "My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish?" And then he starts basically all except the last couple of verses of this psalm talking about what he wants done to the enemies and how the enemy is treating him and what they do. Verse 6, he says, "And when one comes to see me," speaking of his enemies, "he utters empty words while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad." So he says, hey, these come in to see me, but they utter empty words. You know, "Oh, be well," and things like that. But what's really happening is their heart gathers iniquity. Their heart is gathering sin. And then when they go out from David's presence, they're telling everybody about it. They go out to the street and they're speaking all about it. Verse 7, "All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me," or they assume the worst for me, or they devise the worst for me, because they're whispering together, trying to bring the worst possible thing they can against David. They say this, verse 8, "A deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies." So that's what these folks are saying. They're saying, this deadly thing has come against him, a ruinous thing, okay? An evil disease, as the King James says. And David has mentioned several times that he has something that's wrong with him at times. He was sick. He had a plague, as he described it. Now, an evil disease, a wicked thing, a deadly thing, a ruinous thing, and they're saying it's upon him. He'll never arise from it. In other words, he's going to die right where he is, because of whatever this stuff was. Verse 9, "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." And there's a couple of examples of that in the scripture where we see exactly this. The ones that were closest to David, the ones that were so intimate with him that they would break bread together, even they had turned against him. The sad thing about this is that David describes him as a close friend, okay, but a close friend whom I trusted. Whom I trusted. I dare say most of us have had close friends whom we trusted who have broken that trust. That's the hardest thing, and that's what David was struggling with right here. Verse 10, "But you, O Lord," and there's that powerful word, "but." "But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up." and you think, well, man, that's exactly should be the attitude. The call upon the Lord, declare that God is our Lord, and ask him again to be gracious to me and to raise me up, from this pit, to raise me up from the sickness. But I stopped in the middle of the sentence. I stopped in the middle of verse. Listen to the totality. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. Yeah, it says that. He says, God, I want you to be gracious to me. I want you to raise me up to where I can get them, to where I can repay them. David was just being very honest and very forthright. He really was. Verse 11. By this, I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. And that was true. Again, he's declared this several times in the Psalms. He knows this. But even in knowing it, he still calls out to the Lord to bring it forth, to bring it to fruition. Lord, make it happen. I know the enemy is not going to triumph over me. I know that you delight in me, or that you're pleased with me. Okay, I know this. Verse 12, but you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. He knows this. He knows this, the very Most High God that is upholding him because of my integrity or in my integrity. And the idea behind that, we've talked about it several times before, is completeness, fullness. Sometimes it means innocence, which is probably what the meaning is in these Psalms, that I'm innocent of these things that the wicked are accusing me of. Okay, I'm innocent of this. And you know it, God, but you are the one that has upheld me. Okay, upheld me. You're my support. You're the one that I hang on to, that I grasp to. Okay, it's you. And you set me in your presence forever. Think on that. What does the King James say? It sets me before thy face forever. That's what it means. That God, you are the one that has set me before you forever. Not in days yet to come, but at the current time in his life. Yes, it will be in days yet to come, but it's also in present. Is that not great? Then the last verse. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. And as I mentioned earlier, this is the end of the first book of Psalms. There's 41 Psalms in the first book of Psalms. Psalms divided up into five books. This particular book starts off speaking of the blessed man. It ends speaking of the blessed man in Psalm 40 and Psalm 41. How blessed is the man? How blessed is the man? David ends the very last verse of this last Psalm with, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Which Lord? The God of Israel. From when? From everlasting to everlasting. Most of the time we think of everlasting from our existence right now forward into the future. That's true. But it also goes from our existence right now forward into the past. Perhaps I should say backwards into the past. Forever, forever goes both directions. And then he declares, amen. Amen. It's interesting, isn't it? Again, I'm Dale. Hey, I'll see you next time. We'll delve into book 2, Psalm 42. Bless y'all. Goodbye.